You open your Bibles to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. You know, it's good to be close to family and loved ones during the Christmas season, but there's somebody else we need to draw close to more than anybody else, and that's the Lord. I wonder how many people have their families with them, but are so far away from God, it would be a horrible Christmas. You know, most of our family is all in the States, but I want to be close to God. If I could just draw closer to God, I think I'd have a great Christmas with my church family that's going to be with us. So I just want to see if the Lord will speak to us tonight about drawing closer to God. You know, sometimes we imagine that we need to get away on some hillside or something, or get all alone just so we can meet with God. And that's okay, and that can happen because you get away from distractions. But that's just not practical all the time. We need to get close to God every day. We need to draw near to the Lord. That's certainly helpful because it takes away the distractions. But it's much more than that. Just being alone with God, being alone doesn't mean you're close to God. There's things that we need to do. And the one thing the world needs today is some Christians that are going to live according to some principles. I was going to title the message Principled Living, but I just titled it Closer to God. But if you see in Psalm 15, you have your Bibles open there. I'm just going to read the whole Psalm. Five verses. It said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. So one thing we could use today is some people that are living according to this book and according to the principles in this book. And in doing that, you would be drawing closer to God. And it seems today there's no fear of God in the church. Forget about the world, but what about us here in the church? We have no fear of God. We don't realize just who God is and what He can do in our lives or not do. He can withhold His blessings in our lives. And fewer people, it seems, fewer Christians are living by the rules. And we have some rules. This is a rule book. This book is not just good advice. It's commands of God and how to live as a Christian. Why? Because He wants you to draw close to Him. And that's what when we live according to the teachings of this book, it would have such a wonderful effect in our lives. We could be closer to God. It's the place where we ought to want to be. We ought to want to be closer to God. In verse 1, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And that question should be for us is, how can I get closer to God? How can I get closer to God? You know, to abide in the tabernacle and to dwell in the holy hill. You know, as I was looking in just that one verse, I thought, boy, I'm so glad I have a King James Bible. I'm so glad I have a Bible that even tells me what the words mean. You know, what does abide mean? Well, it means to dwell. It's all right there in the verse, and I'm just so thankful that, for one thing, I have a Bible that is perfect, and it speaks to me, and it explains even the words to me. How do I get closer to God? How can I dwell with God? How can I abide with God and in His tabernacle? And how can I ascend up that holy hill? Well, look at Psalm chapter 2. Go to Mark Psalm 15. Psalm chapter 2 and in verse 6. Psalm chapter 2 and in verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. So now we know what that holy hill is. It's Zion. It's Jerusalem. Look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 3. Just to see what David's talking about in Psalm 15, about abiding in the tabernacle and ascending this hill, in Psalm 24 and in verse 3, the Bible says, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He says almost the same thing. Or who shall stand in His holy place? In the tabernacle was the holy place. In fact, the Holy of Holies was there. And that's where the ark was in the tabernacle. That's where the presence of God was. That holy hill is Zion or Jerusalem. where God lives. That's His holy city where He lives. It's not Mecca. All right? It's not Rome. It's Jerusalem. It's Zion. So we should want to be close to God. We should have a desire to be closer to God. I wonder if you have that desire to be closer to God. Here's a fact. I need God. He doesn't need me. I need God. He really doesn't need me. But He wants me. Do I want God? You know, so the bookends are, I need God, and do I want Him? In the middle is God. And He doesn't need me, but He wants me. And He wants you. You have to ask yourself the question, do I really want God? Do I really want to be closer to God? Because the blueprint is laid out for us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. But do we really have a desire to draw close to God? Do we really have that desire? So we have a part to play. We can be near Him. We do have a part to play, though, in drawing close to the Lord. It's not just wanting it. We have to put some things into place, and God will draw nigh unto us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the Bible. Thank You, Father, for this psalm. It made me think, Lord. It made me think. And I pray, Father, You might use the words that You've given me, Your Word, Father, and that You'd speak to people's hearts tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn to James chapter 4? James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And in verse 8, it simply says this, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So you see, God will do His part if we do our part. So there is something that we have to do. We have to cleanse our hands, and we have to purify our hearts, ye double-minded. But if we do our part, God will do His part. Drawing near to God requires a clean life, a clean mind, a clean heart, but a desire. Don't miss this. Because you can do a lot of things, but if you don't do it according to the Bible with a desire in your heart that you really want God to draw near to you this Christmas, then you're not going to do those things. You really have to want God close to you. Ask yourself, why isn't God close to me? What do I have to fix in my life? What do I have to get right with God so that He'll draw close to me? You know, as unsaved sinners, turn to Revelation chapter, just turn to the right, in Revelation chapter 1. As unsaved sinners, we didn't have to clean up anything. We didn't have to do anything. We simply had to believe the Lord. Like was preached this morning, we simply had to trust Jesus Christ and what the Bible said and who He was. And He did the cleaning up. He cleaned us up. In verse 5 it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He did the washing. He shed His blood. He did the cleaning up. I couldn't clean myself up. I simply asked Him to save me, and He cleaned me up. That's as an unsaved sinner. But as a Christian, we have some work to do. As Christians, we have some work to do. Go back to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, look at verse 2. I mean, if you really have a desire to be close to God, then pay attention to what the Bible says. In verse 2 it says, He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So there's some work to do. We have to clean ourselves up. You know, as a child, my mother would always tell me, before dinner, did you wash your hands? I mean, it was like she knew every time that my hands were dirty, first of all. Did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands? Now, when I was a real little baby, and you watch moms today, they'll take a cloth and they'll wash the baby's hands. You see? They need to wash it because they don't know how to wash their hands. But then little kids learn how to wash their hands. Do you know I still get asked that question today? Did you wash your hands? I still have to clean up before I'm allowed at the dinner table. Shouldn't we clean up before we come to God? You know, when I was a sinner, God washed my hands. But now I'm a grown up, I'm mature in the Lord, I can wash myself and come to God, you see, and draw closer to Him. Kind of a neat little illustration, but it makes a whole lot of sense. We need to do some cleaning up. That's why God is staying away. There's something in our lives that's keeping God away. And maybe the first thing we need to do is check our walk with God. We need to live a life of integrity. You see that in verse 1? He that walketh uprightly. That's just living right. That's just making our daily walk with God right. That's just living as a Christian every single day. Not taking time out to do things that God frowns upon. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. I need power. Empower me.
All right.
I should have sent Barry up. Thank you. So, you know, we should live a life of integrity. Look at, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. It doesn't matter to God how rich you are, how poor you are. Who you are in life, your status in life does not affect your status in your Christian behavior. No matter who you are, you can still walk with God. In fact, sometimes being rich will keep you from drawing close to God, that money. Well, but the Bible is actually saying, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. Be honest and upright and open and straight and forward with people. You know, Kathy used to tell me, you know, we were poor. And many people grew up and didn't have a whole lot. But we were clean. Now, that's just funny. We were poor as if poor people should be dirty. No, they don't have to be.
Right.
They can be clean. I know many of us maybe didn't grow up rich, obviously. We didn't grow up with a silver spoon in our mouth. But we were clean. We brushed our teeth and our clothes were washed. So, even though people, like here the Bible says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. Your status in life doesn't mean you can or can't be right with God. We need to be sincere. We need to be truthful. We should be known out among the people in the world as an upright person and even amongst the people in the church. And that our inner character should show itself in our daily life. And by the way, it will. What you are will eventually come out. You know? But we ought to be honest and upright. We ought to walk uprightly. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Now there's things we need to do. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 26. I didn't write all these verses down. I didn't want 10,000 panes of the PowerPoint here, so just write them down if you want. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy every day. Think about the way you live your life every day. Are you following God? Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Almost the same thing about where our feet take us. They don't just get up and go without us thinking about where we're going. So when you start, your foot doesn't start out first and you follow. You think about where you're going and you direct your feet. You better think about, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you're thinking about, that's where your feet are going to take you. Let me put it that way. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Think about where you're going, where your feet are taking you, because you're going where you've already thought about going. I know a man that was clean for years off of crack cocaine. And it only took a few hours of thinking about it. He finally went down and started using again. It broke my heart. But I said, why? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? He said, all I did was start thinking about it. And I just kept thinking about it. And I just kept thinking about it. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And he couldn't hold himself back. He needed to call somebody. He needed to think about something else. this book would have been good. So we need to follow God by following the Bible. Job was close to God. He shunned evil. He kept his way perfect. He walked with God. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 18. You're already in Hebrews. Look at chapter 13 and verse 18. It says this, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." He that walketh uprightly. Are you honest? I mean, are you honest? That's between you and God. But are you upright in God's eyes? I have to ask myself, are my dealings with people upright, honest, straightforward, and open before God? Am I truthful and sincere in the things that I do? Because if we're not, God moves away. You want to be close to God. God draws near to a person that walks uprightly. The second thing, our work. Before men and before the Lord. Go back, well, verse 2 says, in Psalm 15, it says, "He that walketh uprightly, he that worketh righteousness." So that was what we do before God and man. Not only what we think about, but also what we do. Look at 1 John now. Look at 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 3. This will make you think a little bit. Because a lot of people take these verses and think that you can somehow be sinless, but you can't, not in this life. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. The things that we do that are against God's nature, against God's holiness, they transgress the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin." Talking about Jesus Christ. Now look here. "Whosoever abideth in Him," you see that? "Dwells in Him, sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him." Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. And have we not been made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ? And we indwell, He indwells us by the Holy Spirit. In verse 8 it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil in your life. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Wow. You can say, I'm born again and I still sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. This is the work and the effect of the new nature that you have in you. It's that old nature that wants to rear its ugly head. That old nature that wants to sin. That old nature that wants to go against God. That new nature doesn't want that. We need to see the effect of the new nature in our life. You see? We still do sin because we allow that old nature to take over and control us instead of the Holy Spirit of God. But it's the work and the effect of the new nature that pleases God and draws us closer to God. It should be second nature to have that new nature take over. That's what we should be promoting in our lives, that new nature. Listen to God, speak to our spirit, and do the things that please the Lord. This is going to draw us closer to God, and then He will draw closer to us. It should be part of our daily life. In verse 6, it says, "Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not." I mean, it's not that we're going to go sinless. We're going to sin, but we can sin a lot less than we're sinning now. We can stop a lot of things in our life if we'll abide in Him and let Him have control of our life. What is keeping us from being close to God? There's something in our lives. If you're not close to God tonight, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. There's something in our walk. There's something that we're doing. And we don't feel close to God. And Christmas is going to pass by. And you're going to go, I didn't really even enjoy it. And all these people around me, and I didn't have any enjoyment out of it. It's because you missed God. You didn't draw close to God. Turn to Psalm chapter 11.
You know, when Christmas is over in a few days, it's over. And your walk with God starts all over again? No. It goes right into Christmas. Christmas will be over and all that goes along with Christmas, and that's wonderful, but your walk with God should be consistent. In Psalm chapter 11 and verse 7, look at this verse. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. I mean, He just loves righteousness. Why? Because He's righteous. And He loves to see righteousness in us. And when He does, He smiles on us. He's pleased by that. And He draws close to us when He sees that righteousness in our lives. God loves it when we do right. God loves it when we do right. You know, it's just like when your son or your daughter makes the right decision. By the way, sometimes they don't always make the right decision, do they? And it grieves you. But when they do make the right decision, you're happy. You're glad that they've made the right decision. And you smile and you say, I'm so pleased with the decision that you've made. You know, as far as these young people here today, you know, they have their own will. You know, mom and dad can do all they can to raise them, and they can still go the wrong way. Do you know that? And parents shouldn't walk around beating themselves up all the time because their kids have made some bad choices. I mean, parents shouldn't say, well, see, there you go. I don't have to do anything. No, you're accountable to God. You need to do all you can. But they have their own will. They're back there now talking and not paying any attention to what's going on. But I'll tell you, they're accountable to God for that. You see? They're accountable to God. And you don't have to bear all the blame for that. They have their own will. So be very careful. Don't put all the blame on mommy and daddy when you make the bad decision. You have your own will, and I'm telling you now, you can know God, and you're going to have to walk with God all on your own. Mommy and daddy are there to help you to do that. Because moms and dads can get in some awful arguments and start casting bitterness back and forth with each other. And he did what he was going to do. What can I do? How can I stop it? I'm just trying to tell you, we need to be very careful about accusing each other as parents when the kids have just made up his own mind. What do you want me to do? Put him in chains? I'm telling you, you're accountable to God, young people. You're accountable to God. Look, God, this is God's church. This is Jesus Christ's bride. Is Jesus a bad bridegroom? Are we a bad bride? A lot of the times we are. Is Jesus accountable for that? No. This is God's people. Is God a bad God? No. Are we bad people sometimes? We can't hold God accountable because we have our own will. So I just thought about that, and I thought, you know, many times sons and daughters make the right choice. Praise the Lord. You know who should get all the glory for that? God. We're just accountable to God for whether we've taught them or not. But God gets the glory when they do right. But you know, when they do wrong, we might say, did I guide them in that area? But also, you made the choice. You're going to have to live with the consequences now. But God loves righteousness, young people, and He loves to see it in your life. You know, in verse 5 in Psalm 15, if you look across the page maybe, in verse 5 it says, He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. I mean, that's simply saying just doing right towards others. Just being honest and upright to other people. You know, God's people weren't supposed to charge usury or interest when they lent money. Especially with God's people today. I mean, if someone needed money and I was able to lend it to them, we're supposed to say my right hand isn't supposed to know what my left hand's doing. We certainly wouldn't charge interest. Would we? Because I might need a loan anyway. But you know, we need to be upright. And we should always seek the truth, and nothing should divert us from doing the truth. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. As far as this goes here, about bribes, especially in friendships. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Can you imagine? You know, the world says, you got a price. There's a price. I can buy you. I can make you say whatever I want you to say or go along with me. There should be no price that they can buy a Christian. Nothing should be able to change what is right. I'm standing on the truth. You're not going to move me away from the truth. No amount of money changes that. I don't care if it's €1 million. It doesn't matter. You're not going to pervert the ways of judgment. I'm saying, is that in your heart? Is that going to be part of your life? Nothing's going to change, right or wrong. Even when friends get together and, look, I can't even think of a scenario, but they want you to pervert the truth or not tell all the truth, or can you change it? I'll get in trouble. Hey, we got to tell the truth. We got to be truthful. And as far as sharing secrets with each other, I thought about that too. Don't tell me a secret that you can't keep. You expect me to keep a secret, and you can't keep it. Now, there's things that we do keep in confidence, but don't be a person going around gossiping and then telling secrets and then expect me to keep a secret. I got flesh just like you. You wanted to tell somebody. I might want to tell somebody. So let's keep it. Let's just be truthful and so transparent and honest that we wear our hearts on our sleeve. This is who we are. You don't have to dig any deeper. This is what I am. This is what I am. Worketh righteousness. And then our words. Psalm 15 tells us that we speaketh the truth where? In our heart. Well, there's a big difference between saying something true out of these lips and possibly have deceit in our hearts. So we need to be very careful of our words, that we speak the truth with the heart motives are right, that they're right. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, if you turn there. Proverbs chapter 3, and in verse 3. Proverbs 3:3 says this, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." That really just jumped out at me, the fact that there's an outward and an inward here, as far as I can see. Mercy is the outward that's extended to people, and truth is something that should be in our hearts. And I think we go a long way of letting the intents of our heart be visible in our dealings with other people. That people would know that when you're dealing with me, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be straightforward with you. I'm going to be honest. And sometimes that hurts, but we do it in love. We try to speak to each other in truth and love. But I want the intents of my heart to be visible in our dealings with people. And you know what it becomes? It becomes a beautiful necklace that people can see. You see what it says there? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Almost the way a woman wears jewelry, and it enhances the beauty, maybe. We should wear mercy and truth around us to show off just how good God is. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Verse 22 of Proverbs 3 says, "So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." He's talking about wisdom and discretion here. But the same thing, when the inward becomes outward, it shows the grace of God in our life. And it really glorifies God, not you. It glorifies the Lord. The Bible truths become evident in our life as we deal with people honestly and openly. Back in Psalm 15. Thank you. Psalm 15. And in verse 3 it says this, "He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." You know, I don't ever want to be a backbiter, but you know what? Every one of us sitting here has been a backbiter at one time or another. We've said some evil things about people. And it doesn't say a front biter, it says a backbiter. I like to keep things as simple as possible. It's about talking behind people's back. It's about biting them in the back. Not biting them in the front, waiting until they turn around or waiting until they're not there and talking about each other. And that's horrible, you know? That God is not going to draw near to people when they do that. And if God's far away from me, have I been talking about somebody? Because I need to get something right. I need to get that right. I need to stop that. I don't need to evil speak. I don't need to gossip. I don't need to slander. And I don't need to do things behind people's back. If I can't tell it to their face, I ought to shut up and get right with God. The Lord would draw near to me if I did that. And I didn't practice those things. Basically, it is don't have a bad mouth with anybody. Don't have a bad mouth. And you know what? Don't listen to people who are bad-mouthing other people. We've all done it. We all got to stop it. At least not make it a part of our life. It comes subtly sometimes. The devil's not going to throw very wicked sin right in your face, Andrew, right? He'll come in subtly. very subtly. And if you're not aware of it, you find yourself backbiting and talking about others. But just doing those three things will help us draw closer to God, and He will draw close to us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, how do you stay right? How do you stay right with the Lord? Psalm 15. Look at verse 4. One little phrase jumped out at me, and I just pecked it apart a little bit. It says, "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." Do you see that in Psalm 15, verse 4? "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." And I just thought, why not just dedicate yourself to the Lord? Why not just promise and commit yourself to God? It says, "He that sweareth." Now, I want to show you some things about swearing or making a promise in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Most people say, we're not supposed to swear. We're not supposed to make promises that you can't keep. Don't make any vows. Relax. Let's just see what the Bible says. "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." Now, when you swear by his name, you're swearing by his character. You're swearing by Almighty God. What's it saying? If you're going to swear, you better be sure to come through on the promise. It's serious business to make a promise to God. That's what he's talking about. Now Psalm 132. Psalm 132. And in verse 2. It's not that we're not supposed to swear. It's not that we're not supposed to make promises. It's that we ought to be serious about it. Psalm 132. "And as was preached this morning, I may make a promise and I might break it. But when God makes a promise, He never breaks it. It's just as sure as the sun's going to come up tomorrow. In fact, even more sure than the sun coming up. God will keep His promise." And in Psalm 132:2, it says, "How he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob." Who? David, in verse 1. "Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob." What? That he would build a tabernacle. He wanted to build a place where God would dwell. And God allowed him to prepare it, but Solomon's the one that built it. But he vowed to God. He wanted to keep a promise to God. Ecclesiastes 5 tells us that the seriousness of vows. Better not to vow than vow and not pay. It doesn't say you don't make promises and vows. It just says, remember how serious it is to make a vow or a promise. Don't make it flippantly. Don't just say, "All right, I promise I'll be there." If you really can't be there, or you have really, there's some intention of not being there, you're going to break a promise, especially to God. But how about we make a vow that I want to walk with God? From this moment forward, I want to promise between me and you, Lord, I want to dedicate my life to you. I want to commit myself to you. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I mean, how are you going to stay right with God? Why don't you promise Him that I'm going to stop the shenanigans and the things that are going on in my life that are against God, and I'm going to walk with you, Lord. And I'm going to experience the closeness of God in my life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, a very familiar verse, but it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So it's possible to walk with God. Just walk in the Spirit. Because the Spirit always leads us to walk with God. And verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." If the Spirit of God indwells us, then let's walk in the Spirit of God. So if we're alive, born again is what I'm saying. If we're born again, then we should be under the Spirit's control and influence in our life. "He that sweareth." Why don't you make a promise to God? Don't do it if you have no intention of keeping it. You're going to keep doing the things that you know are wrong in God's eyes. Don't promise God. But if you really earnestly want to get closer to God, why don't you commit your life to Him? Why don't you promise? The second thing is to honor the Lord. Because it says, "He that sweareth to his own hurt." Resist temptations. Honor the Lord no matter what. Don't let anything draw you away
from the Lord.
It says to his own hurt. You know, as Christians, we are to what? Count the cost. There's a cost to following God. It's going to cost you something. Maybe not financially, but you're going to lose some friends. You may even lose your job. But whatever it costs, you do it to your own hurt to honor the Lord, no matter what. We fall away so easily. I can't do that. It's going to cost me this. It's going to cost me that. Is it costing you your relationship with God? Then put that aside and concentrate on your relationship with God. He'll honor that. He'll draw close to that. He's drawn to that like a magnet. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just back a couple pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 16. I mean, Paul has been through so much. He's been persecuted, it says in verse 9. And he bears in his body the marks of the Lord. And he's been through so much. And then in verse 16 he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," he calls it a light affliction. We haven't even touched the garment of Paul, let alone Jesus. In the affliction, bearing in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never been whipped for being a Christian. I've never been stoned. Very seldom even called a name. But he calls it a light affliction, which is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're only for a short time. But the things which we don't see, the things which are not seen are eternal. They're forever. We need to constantly be renewed in our spirit and be faithful. This flesh has just got to die. And God has got to be honored, no matter what. His honor is at stake and His glory is at stake in this thing. So the difficulty that arises from doing right never justifies you breaking a promise to God. So if you make a promise, you can keep it to your own hurt, to my own hurt, as long as I don't break my promise to God. No matter what the difficulty, it never justifies breaking the promise. Don't let anything deter you. Don't let anything keep you from your promise to God. You remember Jephthah? He made a promise, a vow, that the first person that comes out of the first thing that comes out of his house, he was going to offer it up as a burnt sacrifice because he wanted God's favor as the children of Ammon came against them. And God blessed, and they won the battle. And when he went home, what came out of his house? His daughter. And she got 2 months to dance around, and she was a virgin, and then it just says, and then he carried out the vow. He made a hasty vow, didn't he? You say he shouldn't have done that. You take that up with him and God. But he made a hasty vow. Herod made a vow. You remember he made an oath about John the Baptist to Herodias' daughter, that wicked pair, right? And he said, "If she, you know, when you're dead, I'll give you up to half the kingdom." And what did she ask for? The head of John the Baptist. And he said, for his oath's sake and those that were there with him, dirty, rotten, lousy, wicked man, took the head of John the Baptist off to give it to Herodias' daughter, he made a vow. It was a hasty vow. Even he knew. I shouldn't have said that. He was a, you know, so I'm just saying, make a promise to God, but keep it to your own hurt. And then the third thing is, make up your mind to stay faithful. Because it says, "and changeth not." In Psalm 15 it says, "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." Who else does not change? God never changes. We ought to be unchanging. We ought to be the same all the time. And the problem is that we have double hearts, you know. We have our desires and then we have God's desires in us. And we choose to do our heart's desire many times. Turn to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12 And in verse 1, "Help, Lord! Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men." He says, help! We need help. Why? Because the godly man, a man who loves God and walks with God, can't be found. They cease. And for the faithful fail from among men. And I think it's a crying shame that there's no godliness in the church. Among men. And no faithfulness. It's a shame. And David had to scream out the same thing. Help, Lord! We ought to just keep doing things that you know are right because it's right to do it. It's just the right thing to do. Sometimes we get too worried about what people think about us. I got enough people worried about what they might think. I can't worry about that. I got to worry about what God thinks. I've changed my mind enough times because of what I thought people might think. I want to be concerned about what God thinks. You see, and just be faithful. Don't give in to the flesh. Wouldn't you like to be known as predictable? If you go to a pastor and you ask him about a certain thing and you're asking counsel, guess what he's going to give you? The same counsel every time. I'm not going there. He's going to tell me the same thing he told me last time. Yeah, it was God. It's God speaking to you. And you don't want to hear it again. I want to be predictable. Ask me something that's against God and I hope I give you the same answer every time. You know the problem with counseling? Is that people aren't honest with you. And they're not honest with God. If they would just be honest with you and honest with God, people's lives could be changed. But they don't want they don't want good counsel. They don't want to hear that. They want their ear tickled like they're doing some preaching. It doesn't work that way. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." There is no shortage of men saying how good they are. Yeah. We don't have a shortage of that. But faithful men we do. People you can just count on. They're just going to be there all the time. They're just faithful. Faithfulness. Have a sense of duty. You know what? I'll tell you what. I came up with a couple of illustrations. But you know what? I just keep going back to the dog. There ain't nothing more faithful than a dog. There's nothing more loyal than a dog. I mean, I heard about this one dog, his master died, and the dog sat on the grave for like years. It would just keep going there, and that's where it spent its whole day, and then go back, probably get something to eat, but it would come back and the next day, and it just loved its master. If we should love our master so much that we would be that loyal to him. Faithful. Be faithful as a dog. Finally, just two things that would help us. Go back to Psalm 15. Just two things to help us. And it's in verse 4. It says, "In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord." This isn't God. This is talking about the man who wants to draw close to God. "In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he," the man who's trying to get close to God, "honoreth them that fear the Lord." So, we ought to treat people right. First, I just want you to go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I know you're tired. We're almost done here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Look what it says. We just need to treat other people right. Amen? And in verse 31 it says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." You know, we would want to be treated right. But the verse is telling us to take the initiative. The verse is telling us to put forth a positive action. We should be the ones initiating this idea of treating people right. The way we would want to be treated. It's not waiting for them to treat us right. Show people how to treat other people right by treating them right. We should be taking the initiative and the action to treat people right. And it's a positive action. Now let me just say, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, steer clear of wicked people. You need to steer clear of anybody who's not drawing you closer to God, but drawing you away from God. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. It's not wrong to see somebody's life. It's wrong to say, I'm going to avoid that. I'm not going to get near that. And I'm not saying judge the sin, don't hate the sinner. But just say, I'm not going to be a part of what you're doing. I'm not going to be a part of that because it's drawing me away from God. You can't see anybody's heart. But you can see the actions. You can judge the actions of a person and say, I don't want to be a part of that. You got to be real careful, though. You don't judge motives. You judge what you see in a person's life. And you don't hate them. You say, I can't partake of that sin. And I will not partake of that sin. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. And you could see, you could read Ephesians 5, 7 through 11. It says, ye were in darkness, but now ye are the children of light. Walk as children of light. Reprove the works of darkness. The Bible, all through the Bible, tells us, steer clear of wicked people and their wicked ways. Get away from it. Don't be angry and bitter this Christmas. Don't carry bitterness in your heart and fail the grace of God. If you want to tell somebody, that is wrong, I'm not going to partake of that, and I'm not going to be angry, and I'm not going to be bitter as you are, I don't want to do that because I'm failing the grace of God. I'm forgetting how good God has been to me. You know what Ephesians 4:31 says? Forgiving others for Christ's sake as He has forgiven you. He's forgiven us for a whole lot. Why can't we forgive others? There should be a sense of forgiveness, especially among Christians. This Christmas, if you have bitterness in your heart, get right with God. Don't fail the grace of God, but forgive that person because God forgave you for a bucket load of sin in your life. Can you not forgive them and have a Merry Christmas, drawing close to God? And the last thing was, give honor to them who do fear God. Because that's what it says. He honoreth them that fear God. So when I see somebody walking with God, tell them, hey, you know, you're doing good. You know, I see you walking with God. Praise the Lord. And honor them. Help them. It edifies. It lifts them up. We should put a high value on godliness. God does. We should put the same value on it. Give honor and encouragement to people. Not flattery. People don't need to be flattered. By the way, flattery is because you got a bad, wrong motive in your heart. You're flattering for some reason other than to fill them up. You want something from them, maybe. So I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about sincere encouragement of people. You're walking with God. I love to tell a team, it's good to see you in church. I'm glad you're serving God. That encourages me. Just because you're 17 and I'm 42. Iron sharpeneth iron. All right, you can't even turn them plus. Iron sharpeneth iron. So, all right, the last verse, Romans 12:10. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. They didn't believe me, did they? Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says this. Merry Christmas, right? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Just constantly encouraging each other. It's good to walk with God. I'm glad I'm serving the Lord with you. I'm glad we can do this thing together. I like to see you in church. You're helping me. You're helping God. We're all working together. I'm glad I'm working with you. It's honoring somebody, preferring them. Wouldn't that be great this Christmas? God would draw near to someone who treated people the way that He would. The way that He would. So, principled living. Like I said, I almost titled that. But there's some principles in this Bible. Why don't we live by them and draw close to God this Christmas? Be as close to Him as we can. Have a desire to draw near to Him in our walk in integrity and working righteousness in our life and speaking the truth from our heart. And then make up your mind to dedicate yourself to the Lord. You see? He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Honor the Lord and stay faithful. Just stay faithful. What a Christmas we could have. Would you like to be close to God this Christmas? You're going to have family members around you. My family members won't be here. Don't cry the blues. I'm going to have church family around me, and I want to be close to God this Christmas, as close as I can. If we do our part, He will do His part. All right, let's pray.